Ramsey TV.
Hi, everybody. I'm not going to get into the pre-existence topic again, but I am just going to talk generally about, you know, departures from faith, and I'm going to show you how the book of Revelation, otherwise known as the unveiling of Jesus Christ, is the perfect complement to Genesis. It's miraculous. The structure of the entire scriptures. I'm going to give you a chart from Dr. Bollinger, the structure of the entire scriptures, to show how every book is integral. And you're going to love it. It's going to really secure your faith. But these are the days when we have to be careful. There's so many deceptions out there. And this is why I think one of the most important videos I made recently was settle on the truth and then murder the alternatives. I'm going to link that video again. It's either settle on the truth, believe the truth, embrace the truth, I think I said. I don't know. You'll find out when you read it, when you watch it again. Embrace the truth and then murder the alternatives. The problem is that there are so many weird voices out there and people with so many weird theories that the son or daughter of Christ could think that, well, it's noble to seek and I must be forever learning. And so they open their minds and their ears to all these foreign voices. This is why God wanted the Israelites to kill all the Amalekites, for instance. This is why anyone who was involved in idolatry was stoned. This is why 23,000 people were impaled on stakes by order of God who had indulged in cult prostitution. Because it's that serious. God does not want any bit of leaven to leaven the lump. Leaven is a bad thing in Scripture. A little bit of leaven leavens the whole lump. And leaven is a bad thing. You let one little false teaching from one goofball who has a goofball idea about God. And again, in the interest of being open-minded, in the interest of being a so-called Berean, but this is not Bereanism. It's not. A Berean hears things from the Scripture and checks the Scripture verses, checks the Scripture references. The Bereans checked the Scriptures to see if what Paul was telling them was true. Seek the Scriptures. But these people who are hypothesizing about a myriad topics, they're not counting on the Scriptures. They're looking at extra biblical information. They're looking at other writers, other quote holy books or books of wisdom or church history, the church fathers. Who gives a crap about any of that? It's irrelevant. I don't care what the church fathers had to say. I don't care what the Apocrypha says, okay? I don't care about any church councils, what they believe when. It doesn't matter to me. It's what says the Word of God. What says the Word of God? And along that line, I do want to say, well, I'm going to link to that video below, but along the line, thank God for Seth Vollenkamp and Stephen Janowski, who are, Peter May continues to double down. He's going to regret it someday, but he's continuing to double down on this non-preexistence of Christ. And the more I think about this, it's very dark. It's a very dark, satanic teaching. And I love the way Stephen and Seth are approaching it. They say, just let the Word of God speak. Such maturity coming from such young ones. Let the Word of God tell us the truth. And I have given you over 20 scriptures speaking the truth of the pre-existence of Christ. And I have challenged, I'm not going to dwell on this today, but I have challenged all the people. There's just a handful of people. Thank God there's only a small handful of people who are doubting the pre-existence of Christ. I've challenged them. And what I believe to be the smartest of them, he knows who he is. I challenged him to bring a verse. Give me one verse proving your position. They don't have one. Well, Martin, give me a verse proving the salvation of all. 1 Timothy 4:10. God is the Savior of all humanity, especially of believers. Well, give me a verse of the sovereignty of God. Ephesians 20:11. God is operating all things in accord with the counsel of his own will. Well, give me a verse about the two evangels. Peter was entrusted with the gospel of the circumcision according as I have been of the gospel of the uncircumcision. Galatians 2:7, if I haven't mentioned it. Well, you believe that Christ preexisted. Give us a verse for that. Philippians 2:6, 7, and 8. Jesus Christ was in the form of God, and he deemed it not pillaging to be equal to God, yet he emptied himself, taking the form of a slave, coming to be in the fashion as a human. And I got 19, 20, 20, 25 more. So, Martin, you've been talking about the house of Israel being scattered over the whole world. Give me a verse. I did. Amos 9:9. I will scatter the house of Israel over all the nations. Well, Martin, you think that the Christians are the remnant of the lost 10 tribes of Israel. Give us a verse. I don't have a verse for that. That's not scripture. That's my educated hypothesis based on scripture. But I'm not going to tell you this is scripture. That's my opinion. I don't have a scripture for it. If I don't have a scripture for it, I can't be adamant about it. Can I now? And yet these people who believe in the non-preexistence of Christ, they're so adamant about something they don't even have a scripture for. And the weird thing is, it doesn't bother them. This is what tells me that this is a dark, dark hole. And it seems to be an endless hole. Or a black hole, I should say, because people can't seem to get out of it. And they... Peter May, for instance, can't be corrected. I pointed out the obviously wrong way he was trying. He was determining that Philippians 2, 6, and 7 was a figure of speech. I pointed out it was such an obvious mistake. If I'd made a mistake like that and somebody had pointed it out to me, I would publicly say, oh my gosh, that was really wrong. I'm sorry. I did that recently. Somebody pointed out to me that I got the wrong number of tribes in the house of Judah. And I corrected it. I will correct myself anytime somebody corrects me. These people can't be corrected. They can't be corrected. I pointed out to Jason how he was misreading all the verses in Isaiah that God says, I acted alone in the creation of the world. My hands did it. My hands alone. And I pointed out to him the context of the chapters. And he's only relating, God is relating himself to other small G gods, small d deities. No, there's no correction. These people don't reevaluate. So anyway, it's a black hole. And nobody has a verse. Nobody has one damned verse. Because there isn't one. There isn't one. That should, for anybody who can still think on this topic, those who still believe in this, that I hope that somewhere in the darkness, somewhere in the deep recesses of the stubbornness, there's some kind of little bell that rings where you see a little light. Wait a minute, we have no verse. We have no verse. We have no verse. We have no verse. Please, listen. We have no verse. Like Peter May, they have to take a bunch of different verses, put them and build them together, sew them together to make a Frankenstein monster where the seams are really ugly, really ugly seams. You're going to put this verse with this verse with this verse. They put really ugly seams and it looks freakish. They got a giant nose, a giant man's nose, a woman's mouth, a clown's ears, an elephant's forehead. It's just very weird creature they've created. Well, Martin Zender, you don't have a verse for the absolute and the relative. You're always talking about the absolute and the relative. Show me the verse. The absolute and the relative are two ways of looking at things. It's not a scriptural truth. There's not a verse that says, don't forget that the absolute and the relative are two different ways of looking at things. To make that case is ridiculous. Well, Martin Zender, you talk a lot about contrast. Show me the scripture that says we should be concerned about contrast. You know? And that's, I heard through the grapevine that Peter made that argument. It just blows my mind. The ignorance blows my mind. Contrast. Contrast is it's a white snowflake against a black background. It's just two things compared to each other that are so different from each other. That's what contrast is. It's like asking me for a verse that proves there are nouns and verbs and adjectives in the Bible. Well, you got no verse? You got no verse that says there are nouns and adjectives and verbs in the Bible. That's the level of reasoning here with that position. It just blows my mind. And there, Peter May is doing this in order to excuse himself for not having a verse. Well, no, I don't have a verse for the non-preexistence of Christ, but you don't have a verse either, Martin Zender, for insisting on we can look at things two ways, absolutely and relatively. You don't have a verse for the principle of contrast. You don't have a verse that there are nouns, adjectives, and verbs in the scripture. Using that as an excuse, well, I don't have a verse for a scriptural truth. According to these people, it's a scriptural truth. Give me the verse. They don't have one. Please, you don't have one. Please, listen. You don't have one. I hope that gets in somehow. I don't know. Maybe not. Anyway, thank God for Seth and Stephen who are fighting it, heralding the truth in spite of it. So, and I like that. Let the Word of God speak. So, Revelation answers. There's another departure from faith, and I saw this 5-6 years ago with the Ecclesia in Seattle, Washington. There was a guy there who said that Revelation doesn't belong in the Scriptures. I'm like, oh my God. You know, I've seen it all. I thought I'd seen it all until this non-preexistence of Christ crap came down the road. I thought I'd seen it all. And then somebody says, Revelation doesn't belong in Scripture? What? And so these things, they raise their ugly heads every now and then. Somebody gets a burr in their ass, up their ass, or beside their ass, or something. They don't understand Revelation. They think it's weird. There's too much imagery, too much symbolism, and they think, well, we ought to get rid of this book because we don't understand it. So they come up with this complicated way to get rid of it. I'm like, when does it end? You know, and this is what I realize. I realize, for one thing, these sects must exist again so that those who are qualified may be becoming apparent. Those who are qualified teachers, such as myself and others, we can rise to the top and point these things out and get credit for it at the dais of Christ. Yeah, that's going to be great. And I realize this also, that these things will persist to the end. They must be, Paul says. Paul said there must be sects among you. And apparently, since we still have it today, this close to the end, the sects are not going to stop. The crazy teachings are not going to stop. The people with the burrs in, on, or around their asses, well, crazy ideas, limited free will, no non-preexistence of Christ, the book of Revelation doesn't belong in the Scripture, Paul doesn't belong in the Scripture, James doesn't belong in the Scripture, there were spaceships in Genesis, Abraham was black, the tribe of Israel, actually, they're of the black race. I mean, it just goes on and on and on, and it's wearying. It's like getting hit with a gun that shoots rubber pellets. It doesn't kill you, but just everyone that hits you, just like, it damages you. It damages you because these things happen to your friends, and you hate to see it happening. But anyway, in Appendix 198 to the Companion Bible, Dr. Bullinger has this wonderful structure. I don't know if you're aware that the Scriptures, there's internal evidence that Scripture is inspired. It's, for one thing, gematria, number in Scripture, and the structure in Scripture. There are different types of structures. It's hard to explain. This is not about that, so I'm going to show you the structure of the entire Scriptures. This is the dispensational plan of the Bible, and here it is. You look how themes repeat themselves in reverse order. For instance, if you see A at the top, the primal creation, heavens and earth, the reference there, Genesis 1, 1 and 2, okay, the primal creation. And you go down to A at the bottom, which is answered in Revelation, the new heavens and the new earth, the day of God. Everything in Genesis is answered in Revelation. And Bullinger, I wish I could find this quote, but I just read it. He said something along the lines, I'm paraphrasing it, that Genesis makes no sense apart from Revelation. Revelation makes no sense apart from Genesis. What God is beginning in Genesis, he's finishing in Revelation. Revelation is the finish. It's a satisfying finish. It's like chopping off the last part of every movie in Hollywood. Chopping off the last part. Rocky's fight with Apollo Creed. Take that part out of the movie. That's what you're doing when you're taking Revelation out of the scriptures. You're getting rid of the most satisfying part. When, you know, and the wonderful, and it's a Wonderful Life, Jimmy Stewart, Jimmy Stewart, and It's a Wonderful Life, one of the most classic movies of all time. Just chop off the most satisfying part of the film where, you know, all the people come and give him money to pay the debt of the bank. Yeah, just get rid of that part. I don't care what movie. Aaron Brockovich, when they win the court case at the end. Get rid of that. We don't need that. I mean, no matter what movie. The Wizard of Oz. Let's leave Judy in Oz. Don't get her back home. Don't get her back home with her friends. Don't show the result that there was only a dream. No, we don't need that. That's what you're doing if you are even suggesting that Revelation does not belong in the scripture. Look at point B, Satan's first rebellion. This is answered by point B down below, Satan's final rebellion. First rebellion, final rebellion. C, the earth restored and blessed. See, the earth restored and blessed. But it's new heavens and new earth in Revelation. There's a satisfying ending. D, Satan enters and the consequence. Oh no, Genesis 3, D. But look at D down in Revelation. Satan is bound and the consequences of that, Revelation 20. Mankind is dealt with as a whole in Genesis 4. Go down to E, mankind dealt with as a whole. Yeah, Revelation chapters 4 through 19 and other passages. I mean, it's the perfect complement. And this is all of Scripture. This is not just Genesis and Revelation in this appendix, but it's all of Scripture. All right, now I'm going to give you another appendix of Bullinger's, appendix number 3. You can find this by going to... In fact, I'll just also put a link down there of how you can see all these appendices. Now, appendix number 3 is called Genesis Finds Its Complement in the Apocalypse. There are 30 points here where Revelation answers Genesis. Revelation is the end of the movie. Genesis is the beginning of the movie. Revelation is the end of the movie. Genesis is the surprising, amazing start. But then things go bad. Things go bad. And Revelation is the finish when everything's perfected. Everything's perfected in Revelation. Why the hell would you want to get rid of Revelation? And this proves, this is internal evidence, the scriptures themselves. In the chart I'm showing you now, I'm going to put that in here. I'm going to link it down downstairs there. In the scriptures themselves, there's internal evidence that Revelation belongs in the Bible. Genesis is the book of the... I'm not going to go through all of these. I made 2 shows during the Revelation series in the bunker called Genesis Finds Its Complement in Revelation, or no, it's called Genesis, Revelation Answers Genesis. Yeah, Revelation Answers Genesis, part 1 and 2. I'll link you to those down below. Hit the button that says show more, and you can see me back in the bunker. I think it's Revelation series number 115 and number 116. I go into detail of these 30 points. I'm just going to show you like the first 3 or 4. You can look at this chart on your own. Again, the link to the chart will be down below. And if anyone is ever tempted in your life to think that Revelation should be thrown out, look at this chart. You'll be cured. Number 3, Satan's first rebellion. Satan's final rebellion in Revelation. The sun, moon, and the stars are for Earth's government. The sun, moon, and the stars connected with Earth's judgment. 6, darkness is called night. There's no need of the sun. There's darkness, yes, Genesis 1:5, but there's no need of the sun in 21:23 because there's no night. 7, the waters are called seas. There's no more sea. I love it. Entrance of sin, the exit of sin, the curse pronounced. No more curse, Revelation 22:3. Yeah, there's a curse. Genesis 3, 14 and 17. How would you like to see the end of the movie? Nah. Who needs the end of the movie? Me? No more curse. 22, 3. 13, cherubim. First mentioned in connection with man. Cherubim. Finally mentioned in connection with man. The cherubim are both there. These are bookends, but with satisfying conclusions. 14, man driven out from Eden. Man restored. Revelation chapter 22. Oh, here's a good one. Death entered in. Genesis 3:19. No more death. Revelation 21:4. I like that comparison. Oh, my goodness. It goes on and on. The tree of life is guarded in Genesis 3:24. Oh, boy. Is that how the movie ends? Hell no. There's right to the tree of life. Revelation 22:14. Oh, boy. In verse point 16, sorrow and suffering enter in. Genesis 3:17. Is there an end to this movie? No, that's it. Leave the theater. Sorrow and suffering enter. Not true. You need revelation to understand that there's no more sorrow. That's pretty good. No more sorrow. Revelation 21:4. On it goes. On and on and on and on and on and on and on. So, everybody stay calm and cool. Once you have been established in the truth, quit seeking. It's no longer noble. It's just, I call it Athenianism, where you just want to hear something new. You're bored. You're restive. You're not content with what you already know. You want to be a seeker. You want to be a seeker. But you get yourself into shit tons of trouble because you open yourself up to demonic, yes, I said demonic influences. Anyone who would throw the book of Revelation out of the scripture, that's a demonic influence. Anyone who would say that Jesus Christ did not pre-exist, didn't create anything, didn't empty himself, that's a demonic influence. It should be evident when you don't have a freaking verse, but to some people it's not evident. Let us continue to believe the truth. Let us continue, those of us who have a hankering, to proclaim the truth. And let us stay settled and steadfast, not turning to the left or to the right, but being rooted and grounded in the Word of God.